Voters in India, the world's largest democracy, are heading to the polls this week to elect the country's next parliament. 900 million people, that's 10% of the global population, are eligible to vote in these general elections. The economy, unemployment and security are among the issues dominating the race between the ruling Hindu nationalist BJP, that's the party of the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and the opposition Congress Party. There are concerns, though, that human rights are being neglected by the main contenders ahead of this year's crucial vote. Jayashree Bajoria is a research consultant with the Asia Division of Human Rights Watch. She joins me in the breakfast studio. Jayashree Bajoria, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you for having me.
You regard this year's vote, this year's election, as a vote for India's identity. What do you mean by that? Why is this election so crucial, do you think, for India?
I mean, Fran, you just said it. This is the greatest election in history the world has ever seen. 900 million eligible voters, 1 million polling stations, 10 million election officers. So just the scale of this is massive and amazing, right? This whole exercise is quite something to watch. There are many key issues, and these are issues that have remained in many elections and continue to play out in this one as well. So, issue of access to healthcare, of jobs, of education, women's rights, safety, right? So for me, I would like to see human rights as central to these elections, and whichever political party comes to power actually upholds them.
It's pretty obvious and usual, though, for the economy, unemployment and security to be issues dominating any election campaign. Is this any different, really, to any other election?
No, but, you know, what we would like to see, you know, in this election as well, you know, we are seeing most political candidates promising, right, jobs, employment, education, women's safety. But what we've seen is that often when they come to power, they don't actually uphold the rights. So for instance, one of the issues that I have been working on India for a long time is the right to education, right? Now, India has a right to education laws. Most parties will say that they are going to guarantee that all children get access to education. But in my work, I have seen those from poor and marginalized populations still are denied access to education. There's still discrimination against them. So this is why I say that it is important. And that's why Human Rights Watch has written letters and many civil society organizations have done this to all political parties and candidates in India, asking them to pledge to human rights and to basic freedoms, and ensure that when they come to power, they actually uphold them.
And are they responding to those calls for pledge?
Some political parties have, in fact, included some of these human rights protections in their manifestos, and we hope that others will also follow suit.
You mentioned women's safety, and there's, over the last few years, some terrible stories of women's and safety and women being sexually violated and attacked in your country, and the responses from the courts in particular found to be very lacking. But in this election, I think women are expected to vote in very large numbers. In fact, I think more women are expected to turn out in this election or register to vote than men. Do you see that as a response to an issue like this, that women want to be taken more seriously and have their concerns taken more seriously? And is that reflected in the comments and the policies of the major parties in this election?
Yes, I think women's safety is a big issue. Protection of women's rights is a big issue. But again, you know, what Human Rights Watch has documented, for instance, you know, the laws and policies did change after the 2012 horrific gang rape and murder of a young woman in Delhi.
Yep.
But the work has shown that these institutional barriers, structural barriers to justice, you know, stigma, harassment and threats against rape survivors, they remain. So again, whichever party comes to power, I think it will be important to actually try and ensure that those barriers are tackled. And in reality, you know, often in India, we say that, you know, the laws are good, but the implementation is a big challenge. And therefore, it's very important that that is tackled, whichever party comes to power.
Is the way to change that, to force that, to have more and more women as part of the voting base?
Voting base, but also women in parliament, I think we would like to see more.
And what is the representation? Do you know?
The representation has been less than, definitely less than 50%, but even some of the major political parties have not, in fact, have more than 20% women contestants. So I think that's an issue as well, to have more women contesting elections and more women in parliament.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Jayashree Bajoria from Human Rights Watch. Countries around the world, including here in Australia, are seeing a rise in what's described as nationalist sentiment in politics. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is a nationalist leader and makes no apologies for this. Are those tensions increasing? I mean, we have seen in recent years an increase in reported attacks on members of religious minorities, for instance, Muslim communities. Are these tensions increasing, do you think?
Yes. I mean, Fran, as you said yourself, you know, we are seeing sort of in recent years rise of populism and nationalism around the world. And always when you talk about populism, there's always an element of hate, right? In the United States, we see it against Mexican immigrants. In Australia, we're seeing it against Muslim immigrants. Also sort of the refugee policy, right? Asylum and policy against asylum seekers has received much international condemnation. In India, we're seeing it against religious minorities. So, you know, there is a vilification. There are attacks on religious minorities. For example, one of the things that I had been working on since last year was looking at just attacks on Muslim cattle traders and herders in the name of cow protection by vigilante cow protection groups. And, you know, 44 people have been killed since May 2015, 36 of them Muslims, just in the name of cow protection. And the response from the state, unfortunately, has been one of despair, because the police either have stalled investigations or have been complicit in the murder of or cover up, and elected political leaders have defended the assaults.
Okay, and just finally, the influence of social media on this election. It came into sharp focus, I think, recently. Facebook announced it had taken down 700 pages and profiles for what it called inauthentic behaviour. Do you know what kind of content we're talking about, and how much social media and how much misinformation is being peddled through social media in this campaign, the impact it's having?
Right. I mean, you know, technology and, you know, I feel like the internet has become sort of this double-edged sword, right? We expect, especially in a country like India, that technology will bring a lot of development, and there have been initiatives by the government. On the other hand, they have been used, for fake news and misinformation. In this election also, this is a critical issue and one that has raised much concern. Unfortunately, again, the response from the government to this often is, you know, just a blanket internet shutdown. India has the largest number of internet shutdowns of anywhere in the world, where basically to prevent violence based on fake rumors, for example, it just shuts down the internet completely. Also, there are now new rules proposed by the government, which ostensibly would actually try to tackle this scourge of fake news and misinformation, but in reality would weaken privacy, freedom of information, and encryption. Again, something that I think the rest of the world should be very concerned about.
All right, Jayashree Bajoria, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Jayashree Bajoria is a research consultant with the Asia Division of Human Rights Watch. And on Thursday, 900 million Indian citizens will vote in the general election.